Yo, what's going on? Welcome to the Blade Runner Minute. That was a little rap I did. Did you like it?
That was a rap?
Yeah. I'm a very accomplished rapper. Now. Mm-hmm. Now I am. Welcome to the Blade Runner Minute, everybody. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And I just stole a cherry gummy from Sandra's hand. Punked her out completely.
Right before I was about to eat it.
And now I'm eating it. That's the way life works sometimes. Sometimes you think you're the good man, you know? You think you're good with your cherry gummy and your PKD blaster. And you think you're hot stuff. Next minute, here comes your husband, stripped down to his underpants, howling through a wet apartment. Running after you, stealing your candy. That's life.
You weren't running after me. I'm clearly sitting next to you.
Speaking of marital bliss, minute 99 starts with Deckard running and hiding from Roy, and it ends with, take your pick, either Deckard looking for high ground to evade Roy, or Roy stripping down and hunting Deckard, because they both struck me.
Okay, well, to me, it ends in him climbing up and dropping stuff off the...
Yeah, but I wanted to start with Roy.
You just want to talk about Roy half-naked.
It's amazing.
And his crotch.
It's amazing. I was researching this minute with our 6-year-old daughter, Katerina, and she's like, why is he naked? I was like, he's not naked, first of all. He's in his underwear. I was like, and he's in his underwear because... And I explained it to her. I'll save it for when we get up to it during this minute. But it was really... cool bonding moment between a father and his daughter. Thanks to Blade Runner and Rutger Hauer and this podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
It was to me. So, Deckard's still running away from Roy.
Yes.
Hiding.
Yes.
He stops for a second. And does it happen as fast as I think it does, where he snaps his fingers back into place?
No.
Takes a little bit?
Yeah, you're missing so much stuff that happened way before
that. I don't know about much stuff.
There's only one thing before snapping his fingers back in. You hear those bells tolling as part of the music?
Right.
Yeah, the bells tolling, and then he pops his fingers back in. Right.
And there's the acting that I wanted when they were broken the first time.
And he's
screaming, ah!
He's yelling. I never had... So, they're broken and he's setting them, right? They're not dislocated and he's popping them back in?
Oh, I don't know. I figured they were dislocated and he was popping them back in. I don't think it's easy to break a bone. I think when you're breaking fingers, you just pop them out of the joint, out of the knuckle, right?
I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he broke his fingers.
I don't think he could reset a bone like that, no.
I think it seems weird because I've never heard of anyone dislocating a finger like that. Like, my father has popped tendons in his finger and stuff like that, but I've never heard of anyone dislocating a finger other than the thumb.
I don't know. But either way, does it hurt more?
It hurts when Judging you pop it back in.
Does it? Really?
You've heard that? When you dislocate something, it hurts when you pop it back in.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. That question is answered.
It hurts when you pop it back in. Like.
Because he seemed to react.
Terrible, yeah.
In terrible pain, as opposed to earlier when they were broken.
It's the worst thing ever.
And Deckard was just like, ow.
I've never dislocated anything, not good. I've never broken anything, not good. So I wouldn't know what it feels like. Do you remember any broken bones?
I've broken bones, but I don't remember them happening.
Okay.
I was hit by a car when I was younger. I was, like, dead for a couple seconds in the hospital for a while. And, legs were broken, arms were broken, jaw was broken, ribs were broken, spine was damaged.
And then they rebuilt you and they made you bionic.
And now I'm half robot.
Half robot.
And that's why every time I get close to the mic, it buzzes.
Mm.
So that's cool.
$6 million man?
Yeah. I mean, not really. I'm like 40 grand.
But, only 40 grand?
Yeah. You know.
They didn't have for the full upgrade, right? They only went to the first level of the upgrades?
It was the 80s. It was the 80s.
Listen, 40 grand stretched way further back then, right?
It was robotics on a budget.
Okay. Fair enough.
So what'd you get out of the minute?
There's a lot
going on. I figured we ping pong back and forth. You do a couple seconds, I do a couple seconds. Yeah.
There's a big use of light and sounds in this that were played through the soundtrack, not just in the background noise. So the background noise, we still hear, you know, the rain. Later on, we hear thunder rumbling artfully. Yeah. And then I start to wonder if some of those flashing lights that we've been seeing has been the lightning. And for all the rain that we've seen in this movie, this is the first time we've heard thunder. But I like how the music with the bells, because I think that's the music and not their background noise.
I don't know.
I like how it plays with the thunder rumbling and the water flowing. So it's like layers. Yeah. Like the way ogres have layers, there's all these layers of sound. Because when you're in a room, it's not just a sound. There's all this ambient noise behind you.
It's many. Settling, it's traffic, it's
you know, people. We hear Katarina moving in the next room.
Yeah.
You hear the shh of the air conditioner or the wind past the window. You hear the cars rumble by.
She's in her room playing with my Lord of the Rings toys now. I finally
opened. And every time she moves, you can hear our door move. Even though she's not touching our door, it's just the wind that she makes because she's like the Tasmanian devil.
I found a bunch of old Lord of the Rings toys from like 2001. I found them a couple months back at a
Salvation Army
that I was working at, that was doing a job in the Salvation Army. And they were half off. And I bought like four of them. I got Aragorn, Frodo, Gimli, and Legolas.
This isn't the Lord of the Rings minute.
And I opened them. I'm so happy that I opened them.
This isn't the Lord of the Rings minute.
Still.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. So my kids in there playing with Legolas, shooting little bow and arrows in Frodo's face. It's great.
So we hear, you know, Deckard was yelling from the pain, and you see Rory is still mourning Pris's death, but he starts to steal. Once he hears Dex yelling...
He steals himself.
He, like, gets himself ready for what is about to happen because he knows my end, his end, it doesn't matter. This is going to end now.
And he howls really strong dramatic. And loud.
Yeah, and then he hears the thunder rumble. Mm-hmm. And really, do you think it was the flashing lights of the lightning? Or?
Yeah, I think it's everything. Well, in a few seconds, we also see there's a shot of a window that's fenced in and then boards are across it. Mm-hmm. And you can clearly see lights moving.
And those are the spotlights.
So I'm assuming those are spotlights on what? The blimp?
I guess.
Or the building?
I think they're the blimp.
Because it's very clear that those are lights that are moving up and down, left and right.
Right, those are definitely spotlights. So they might be attached to something. Sometimes they've been flashes of lights, right. And the flashes of lights may have been lightning. I don't know. But then Roy howls again.
Yeah, he howls really strong, really loud.
It's very animalistic.
It's great face acting.
Yes, it's very animalistic. It's super scary. If I was the person who was in the apartment with them,
right.
Like, this guy is crazy.
But before he even howls, he's standing there in silence for a few seconds, and he's like looking up and down. And
yeah, all, he's getting himself ready.
His face acting.
Yes.
How many movies do we see? And I don't want to name anybody. I don't want to list any names because it's not right. It's not nice. But how many times is a scene ruined?
Because
you're looking at their face, and you're like, you're not reacting properly right now, correctly. I'm just gonna say it. Natalie Portman in episode 2. She finds him in the morning standing looking at the Italian ocean on Nebu, and she's like talking to him about his mother and how he's gotta leave, and her face like always bugged me. I'm like, you're not reacting to what he's...
It's like she's not reacting with her whole face.
Yeah, what are you mean. Doing? You look like you didn't know the camera was on you. You're just waiting for your line.
So like in episode 3, where she's like, Anakin, you're breaking my heart. Like Much she's better. Saying the words and her face is moving, but you don't feel it. I don't feel it in her
I
eyes. Do.
I love those scenes, actually. Episode 3, when she's like, you're breaking my heart. And he's like, liar, you're with him. I actually really like that scene. But in episode 2, specifically, I remember watching this scene, this minute, with Rutger Hauer's face acting. And I was immediately reminded of how I felt the other day when I tried to watch episode 2 with the kids. I always try to give the prequels a fair chance. Every year or so I pop them in. And I was like, man, why is she acting like...
Yeah, they don't really know what those movies are. They're like, what is this, Papa? And you're like, Star Wars. They're like, this isn't Star Wars.
Because she's such a great actress, Natalie Portman. But she just... I don't want to blame anybody. It was just... They could have used a better take. Her reaction to him telling her, my mother, this or that, bad dreams... I don't know. But anyway, the point is, she was having a bad day. Rutger Hauer wasn't. He was having a very good day. And his face acting...
I think it's very difficult.
Perfect.
To act with every part of your face.
It has to be, man.
Every follicle moves the same way.
It has to be. Because that's why these people are movie stars and have losers like me doing podcasts talking about them. So I totally...
I really love that there. Sorry.
The Ministry of the...
I just don't like that it's
French
so bent.
Ministry of Magic. Poster that I put up.
It's not a poster. It's a tin.
A tin, whatever thingamajig. Yeah, it's a little contorted, but that's cool. I like it. It adds to the charm. It looks like I took it off a wall.
That you stole it from the actual
of the Ministry of French Magic.
Ministry of Magical Affairs of France.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I'm not even gonna try to read it in French.
Come on, do it. Do it.
No, I don't know. I would be guessing half
What's
of the words.
What's that thing that Paul posted about how to speak your French? Learn Spanish, learn Italian, put them together, whatever, like subtract
them.
I didn't
even see that. That's cool.
It's fantastic. Subtract everything that's the same and what you have left is French. Or like disregard all the like the vowels or something. No, disregard all the consonants and only pronounce the vowels.
That's good. I don't know.
I'll find it for you again.
I don't remember seeing that.
So Deck is stumbling through this apartment, scared, listening to this howling.
I love where he runs through right now.
He runs through. The apartment is completely covered in dust. There's no color. Everything's all like this grayish white. There's nothing. There's nothing that pops. There's
great light right now where he walks through.
You see the light flashing.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking, well, maybe that is lightning, but that could be a spotlight as well.
Tough to tell.
I know, because thunder, lightning, so I'm assuming it's both. And we hear those howls echoing through the whole thing. I would be scared out of my mind. And he looks scared out of his mind. Yeah. Harrison's doing a really good job showing, like, this guy's nuts.
This is the cat and mouse began a minute or two ago, and it's going to continue until the very end of the movie.
He clearly knows that Roy is stronger than him.
Yeah, he's...
It's clear that Roy is better than him.
If he stands his ground, he's not going to survive. He's dead. He's not going to survive.
He's looking for a way out through this apartment.
Well, you didn't... Deckard runs through a room that has like some sort of counter or a bar. Could have been a bar.
Oh, yeah, with the mannequin.
And there's a... Was it a mannequin? Or I thought it was one of the toys.
Well, I call it a mannequin, but it's the toys.
And it's holding a bottle in its hand. It looks like a wedding dress. It's like a veil or something.
It looks like a ball gown, yeah.
Completely. All right, ball gown, right.
I never noticed that. Endlessly waiting for a drink at the bar.
Just waiting to slumped over the bar. I thought that was really funny.
We've all been at the bar where we're waiting for that bartender and we feel like that doll, 100%.
What a creepy little detail to add into the movie.
It's also creepy. You know, I read somewhere, I think I read it in the book. Yeah, I read it in Future Noir.
Uh-huh.
That most of the set pieces, because they couldn't afford to build them, they used from other movies. One of the big ones is they used pieces from My Fair Lady.
Oh, really?
As part of this apartment, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I don't think I've ever seen that.
And something from a movie called Darling Lily, but My Fair Lady sticks out to me because, you know, musicals, girls.
Okay.
I fit the cliche. But he's clearly looking for a way out, Deckard, right? He's not, like, just trying to hide. He's clearly trying to escape. He's like, I don't care if this guy's dead. I'm gonna go.
He's Token from South Park. He's washing his hands of the situation. I'm out. I don't know.
The blackjack dealer.
Yep, I'm out.
I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, the blackjack dealer showing their empty hands.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I'm out. I'm out of here.
My mom's making some chicken. So we see that he finds a boarded up window with one side has chain link.
Yes.
A chain link fence, and on his side it looks like just boards.
That's where I noticed the lights outside, on the other side of the
chain
link.
And you see those spotlights flashing into his face, flashing into our eyes, and then suddenly you hear what sounds like an aria of Roy singing, I'm coming.
I'm coming! I never, ever noticed this. Maybe because we got the sound bar now. We didn't have a sound bar in our old apartment.
We did. We've always had that sound bar since Trump.
Maybe it wasn't a good sound bar because I never heard it so clear.
Yes, we used to live in buildings called Trump Village.
I'm coming.
Rutger Hauer is crazy in an awesome way.
I have to really watch some more Rutger Hauer movies. I have to go back and watch some Rutger Hauer
because
stuff.
It's the insanity that makes Roy so awesome.
I think he was really popular in the 80s when I was too young to appreciate him. And now, even in this, I didn't really appreciate him until recently. So I think I got to go back and see what he was doing in the 80s.
So Dex starts banging on these boards.
Yeah.
And we hear the chain link rattle. I'm thrown off by this because I would assume that they're not next to each other. So the fact that he can rattle hit the boards and it hits the chain link throws me off because I would think that the boards are on the inside of the window and the chain link is on the other, so there should be like an inch gap where the window should be, but there is no glass.
But the wood is wet. So he can push it a bit. It moves.
I got a whole nother problem with the wood being wet, but there's dust around, all right? So that's for the next
yeah,
minute.
The dust does look pretty fresh.
I'm gonna come back to it. But I did also notice something before and I forgot to mention it, and I only just noticed. That when Deckard gets his fingers dislocated, broken, whatever it is,
right.
Afterwards he leans on the wall and the whole wall moves.
Oh, I noticed that too.
And I we didn't mention it, but the whole wall moved.
Yeah.
Because it was made of like styrofoam.
Yeah, it was a set. Yeah, it was an obvious.
And I only just noticed that like bounced against him.
You're talking about the part where, around the same time that he shot through the wall.
Right after he shot through the wall, he leaned back up against the wall, and you saw it move with him.
Yeah, I was gonna leave that part out.
Why?
Because I didn't want it to make it seem like I was picking on... We we seemed like the last few episodes, we seemed like we were picking on the movie because, or Deckard's character, because we were saying he's bad at his job and stuff, something. So I listened back and I was like, oh, we're kind of shitting on this movie a little bit right now. But, I mean, it's all in fun.
No, I like that.
But I left that.
It helps me fit with the plan of JF's apartment and the Bradbury, because I was having a real hard time with the layout, the floor plan of what we're seeing.
Right.
So knowing that they built their own walls to do certain things made it easier.
Well, not only that, but it's it hasn't happened yet, so okay. I'll save it. So then Deckard starts climbing up, what would you call this? A bookcase or...
I'm just going to call it a wall unit.
I thought it was, what do you put, if you have a shelf unit that has your plates and cups on it, what is that called? That's called something, like a cupboard, but it doesn't...
China hutch? That looks like a built-in unit for me. There was ornamental angels there, built out of the masonry and all that, the beautiful molding that they would make, but it's all done with masonry work, so it's not wooden molding the way we know it. It's like the plaster that you would have seen, the way like in your aunt's old apartment. Well, yeah. She still has that. She has those beautiful, like, the wood molding around the walls to make those insets.
Right, okay.
Old-timey, I love that. But this is, like, to the 10th degree. I could just imagine that there would be medallions on the ceiling for the light fixtures. You've been in those apartments.
Okay? Yeah, of course.
Those medallions right around the lights I love, or the tin ceilings.
Yeah, all Bensonhurst in Coney Island, where we grew up. That's all you saw.
But just as we see the angels, you hear Roy saying...
Deckard!
Stay alive.
4, 5, hope to stay alive! I didn't turn on
the closed captioning.
The closed captioning, so
I didn't either this time.
I don't know if it's exactly what he says, but he definitely says 4 or 5.
But he had already said 4. He was doing his countdown to let him know he was coming.
I heard him say 4 or 5.
But he had said 4 before.
Yeah, but I definitely heard him say 4.
I'm sure, but he had said 4 right before he said Pris.
Yeah.
3, 4.
1, 2, Pris. And then Deckard ran, and then 3, 4, and then he Pris. And now I'm pretty sure I heard him say 4 or 5.
That's fine. All I heard was stay alive. It just wouldn't make sense if he had said 4, is what I'm saying. He probably did. They could have forgotten their count.
And I think he says...
He's an actor. He's not a mathematician.
I think he says hope to stay alive, but I could be off.
I heard just stay alive.
Okay.
And then we have...
And at this point, Roy is...
And then it's go ahead, you take it.
Stripped down to his underwear.
In the doorway.
And my daughter asks me, why is he naked? And I said, because what he's doing right now is very primal and animalistic. He's hunting, sweetheart.
It's funny, I wrote animalistic first. How?
Yes, he's a naked, hunting, howling animal right now.
Is this what you said to her?
Yeah. I had to be honest with her. I was like, this is the part in the movie where Roy knows that these are his last moments of life. He's dying. And the last thing he's going to do is avenge his family's deaths. Or his lover's death. I didn't get complicated with the lover stuff with Pris, but this is how he wants to go out. Unfettered. No clothes, no shoes. That's it.
Back to basics.
I came in naked. I'm going out naked. Except for these underwear. I really like them.
They're from Jockey.
They keep me from bouncing around. I don't want to accidentally sit on my nutsack or anything.
You
like
paused
that.
And then said it anyway.
I was going to say something. Yeah, even worse. I was going to say something else, but anyway.
Now everyone's going to have to wonder what you would have said instead.
I'll never tell.
Anyway,
that's my take on it. That's why he's howling and that's why he's naked.
Yeah. As soon as I saw him running in the doorway and then hiding behind the wall, the only thing I can think of is Smeagol. What are you doing? Sneaking. Like, that's what I thought of.
What are you doing sneaking around like that? Oh, you call it sneaking.
We didn't do a Star Wars quote, but I keep doing Lord of the Rings quotes today. What's going on with me?
We're
going
to start Lord of the Rings quotes now.
Oh, is it because you were playing with the Lord of the Rings toys?
Yeah.
But we did talk about Star Wars. So
I don't play.
Sense.
I collect.
You were playing with that child.
We did talk about Star Wars, actually. That's right.
Yeah, but we didn't quote it.
So, too.
Oh, yes, we did it. Yes, I did. You're breaking my heart.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That quote. Okay. That counts. Deckard spots high ground. A way out. But we talked about that already.
And then, but the run that... Roy does is very funny. It's like that hop run.
He's doing this little, I said Roy is almost galloping.
Yeah, it's like an Olympic kind of weird run.
Yeah.
And then hops from one side to the other. Like, he looks like a cross-country skier.
It's great. It's great. It's fantastic. And I don't think it was in the script, because it's not in the book like that at all.
No. But Roy's, the whole character isn't like this in the script. Like,
This is Rutger Hauer's take. Yes.
You know, he brought a lot to this character from what it seems, and even from what Ridley Scott has said, that Rutger really got into this character, he really understood him. I don't think you find that a lot with actors. Not because it's the actor's fault. I just think that it's rare to always connect with a character that deeply, that he's just like, no, this is what the character would do, this is how it would be.
Yeah.
And the fact that the filmmakers were okay with Rucker Hauer's, what's the word I'm looking for? Interpretation? Interpretation. Okay. And ideas concerning the character and let him go with it is a beautiful thing, because it really made this character so memorable.
I agree.
That Roy is not a good character. I think that what Rucker Hauer added to it,
well, we don't know,
made him
what he would have
this
been.
This awesome of a character. Because yeah. In the book, it doesn't feel like this at all to me. Like, not even close. It's Rucker Hauer's interpretation of Roy.
It's a fun darkness that he brings to the character, that he brings to the role.
100%. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But then Deckard climbs that bookcase unit.
So that's why he was staring at it. Yes. He wasn't just looking for a cup.
And I didn't notice what he was looking at. And next minute I realized what he was looking at. But I saw him look up, but I didn't notice it either. I don't think it was really
so there. He's climbing up to, he's looking to get out.
And then I saw it.
Right.
But he climbed the lintel.
He climbed all those, that series of lintels.
And he's dropping all the stuff out of every shelf.
And he's smashing cups.
He's dropping cups with his hands, like flinging them out of the way.
And tchotchkes and plates.
That was somebody's stuff, man. That's not nice. It doesn't matter.
This is all still JF's apartment?
Yeah.
No, that can't be.
Yep.
So what is this, like the kitchen? Because that was the bar with the toy, the doll laid out.
No, he had the kitchen and the billiard room, remember? I don't think he lives in all these rooms. I think he confines himself to a couple of rooms. I don't think he utilizes every room.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because his space didn't seem as dusty as these other spaces we've seen.
Ah.
And his space didn't seem as wet as these other spaces. Like, he's probably confined himself to the room because of the decrepitude. Is that a word?
Yeah, I'm making sure.
It a word. Because of the decrepitude of the rest of the apartment, like where Deck was, got his hand mangled, is all wet and disgusting, and where Pris died is all dry and dusty. So he's probably confining himself to the rooms that are still in good shape.
Still usable. I wonder if JF used to live in all those other rooms and just slowly as they've...
That's what I'm saying. He's probably started to confine himself.
Yeah.
He can move to any apartment he wants. He can go move downstairs if he had wanted to.
And as like a board breaks or a window shatters or something begins to rot, he just closes the door and says, well, I'm not going...
I'm assuming he put the chain in that room again. Boards to keep people out.
Right, right. He boarded everything up. Yeah. So. Oh, that's interesting, actually, to imagine JF going around securing the place like in a zombie movie.
And because there's no glass.
I'd like to see that.
In all of them.
Yeah, because they were already broken into.
Because they were,
well, he used to get burgled every night. That's why he left those rooms on Earth. What? Don't roll your eyes. That's good.
Okay.
This is good headcanon, man.
Okay. I'm taking another gummy. Do you want one?
I'll take a gummy. Sure. Got those cherry gummies over there? Thank you very much. You want to chew in these gummies while the outro music plays?
Yeah, but I eat mine slowly. You pop the whole thing in your mouth. I eat one stem, one part of the stem, and then one stem, and then the other, and then I eat each cherry individually.
It doesn't matter. We're chewing this. This is over the background, the outro music.
Yeah, but I just like to savor my candy longer than you do. You know, it's like in Burger King when they used to have the twin burgers. Did you pick up both feet burgers and eat them at the same time, or did you rip them apart?
I ripped them apart.
I like those twin burgers.
Want to say goodbye under the music?
Oh, goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.